Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm glad that you're here, family. And I'm glad to be here. God's been good to us this week, right? Yes. And we're here to sing some praise and some songs to Him. Let's sing about His the assurance that He gives us in our lives, and the peace that He gives us, and the impact that God has had on our stories. So let's stand and sing about that blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission.
Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending look from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, all's at rest.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness and lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 99, verses 1 through 5. You can follow along on the screen. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we are just in awe of your holiness. And we praise you for the work that you've done in our lives and for the grace that you've shown and for bringing righteousness to us and help bringing us into communion with you. We praise your name today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You unravel me with a melody, surround me with a song of deliverance, from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, 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 oh. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. Been born again into your family. Your love flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, 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 oh. You split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. All my fears drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. All my fears drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. One more time. I am a child of sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. And my orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. From my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend.
existed and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Thank you, Lord.
Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost.
But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so is over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Forever we're free. Come join the songs of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Maybe.
Thank you, worship team. You're going to want to have your hymnals at hand in just a moment. We'll get to that shortly. Those of you who are joining us at home, a great big old welcome to you. Thank you for being part of our worshiping community today. You're going to want to have a copy of your Bible with you today. And also, if you have a home hymnal, have that one ready to go also. And we'll let you know what hymns we're going to be singing. We're going to get to that shortly. Do you have your bulletin in front of you this morning? Why don't you turn to those pages right now. Just a few things I do want to highlight for you and draw to your attention. This evening is our dinner and movie night. We're going to start this promptly at 5 o'clock. So come on with your soups and your chowders and your chilies, and we'll start our evening meal right at 5 o'clock. I'm very much looking forward to that. We'll spend an hour downstairs, and then we'll come up here into the sanctuary, where we'll look, we'll view together the latest release of the Voice of the Martyrs movie entitled Sabina, and it is the story of her life. This is a full-length movie, okay, an hour and 55 minutes, so just so you know that ahead. So we'd like to start right at 6 o'clock so we can set you on your way in good time this evening. There is something also for the smaller set, the children I'm talking about, okay, and we'll have something planned for them also. So just a quick reminder, we'll start this at 5 o'clock tonight. You'll notice also in your bulletin that we have some library news here. There are a number of resources in our on the conference table in the library that we are asking you, if you haven't already visited it, that we're looking to give away to the church congregation. And whatever doesn't disappear from there, we have a home that we're looking to rehome those resources. But there are books there. There are video resources. If you're interested in any of that, please visit the church library before you leave today and before we move those materials on to another location. We're looking to bring in additional newer resources, so we're looking to rehome some of those. So just want to draw your attention to that. You'll see a section of your bulletin that says Word of Life Updates, and there is a web address that you can go to. It's from Fox News. It is an interview that they did, that Fox News did just recently, with the representative from Word of Life Ukraine. About 4 minutes in length. Very, very powerful. And as I had the opportunity to have viewed this several times and have this week read letters from our friends at Word of Life, from Samaritan's Purse, and from Russian Christian Radio, it is utterly amazing the work that the Lord is doing, even through the horrific images that we are seeing coming into our homes and the war that is going on in Eastern Europe. Continued prayer for sure, but no right now. The Lord is mightily at work, even through those things that we're seeing. Avail yourself to that website that you see there today. Only 4 minutes in length, and it will encourage you with regards to the spiritual nature of what is going on, even in the things that we're seeing today. So I want to bring that to your attention also. Men, we have an outing coming up later on in the month of April. We'll share with you more details in the coming weeks, but this will be a pizza and range night. So we just wanted to let you know about that right now in advance. You'll see an insert in your bulletin today with regards to our Easter memorial flowers. And if you'd like to participate in that, and I wish you would, it helps to decorate the church for Easter Sunday, and you bring the flowers with you at the end of the service. If you'd like to participate in that, you could, it looks like it's $10 for the plants, and you can let us know which one you would like for us to order, and you can get your check to the members of the decorating committee, and their names are listed right there for you. So we want to bring that to your attention also. And let's see, Amanda, you want to share with us there about the ladies' upcoming Bible study, all righty? And if you want to stay there, that's perfectly fine, but let me put this in your hand, however. All right. All righty.
Is it on? Yes, all right. Well, hello, everyone. I wanted to invite all the women to an upcoming spring Bible study. This Bible study is based on the book Mama Bear Apologetics and Empowering Your Kids to Challenge Cultural Lies. So some of you, well, if you're a mom, you probably know what I mean by the words Mama Bear. So Mama Bear is a term that the world uses to describe moms who are protective of their children. And so we're going to be looking at that from a biblical perspective, given our current culture. So all women ages 16 and up are invited to join us. We have 13 women as of this morning who are from the community who have already signed up for the Bible study. Praise the Lord. So it's a 10-week study, and it's Sunday evenings. All the information is here in the back of the bulletin. It is spread out, and there are a few dates that we're going to have to vote on. Participants are responsible for purchasing the two required books. It's less than $20 for both, but if you are interested in joining and that's a hardship, please just let me know, and we'll make that happen for you. Please, there is a sign up, actually both for the men's outing and for the Bible study out in the foyer. And I did also just want to mention that I am looking for faithfully mature women, so women mature in their faith, to come alongside me in ministering and facilitating this Bible study. So we have a huge amount of women from the community coming in, and I would like women if you're available even one of the study nights to come alongside me, just for logistical purposes as well as encouragement, and of course be praying for this Bible study. So we're going to be meeting up in the loft. And if you have any questions, I'm going to have the books out in the foyer if you'd like to flip through them. But again, all women 16 and up, and you're welcome to invite friends as well. We really need women who are mature in their faith and who have raised children and sent them out in the world, and we would just really appreciate your wisdom. So please let me know if you have any questions.
Is an entire page in your bulletin that's devoted to this announcement, so please do avail yourself to that, and that's going to be starting very soon. So we want to let you know about this today and some highly, highly important topics for conversation and discussion that will be a part of that study. All right, folks, why don't you find your hymnals, chorus books with me at this time. Those of you joining us at home, we'll let you know the exact selections that the saints make this morning of things that we can be singing together. Let's do several of your favorite hymns. Let's do the first and last verses of all your selections, unless you tell us differently. Donna, do I see a hand back there? What would you like to sing? Number 67. All righty, and I have that's the one I thought it was. We're going to be, for those of you joining us at home, hymn number 67 in our hymnal is The Love of God. Let's sing all three of them. Let's sing together. Let's worship number 67.
Thank you.
Number 213. Is that a Charles Wesley hymn? 213? No, that's a Gaither hymn. Alrighty. Has three verses. There's a story here. Let's sing them all. This will be our last one this morning. But number 213, for those of you joining us at home, we're going to be singing Because He Lives. So if you have a hymnal there, go ahead and join us. Because He Lives. It's 213. Let's sing them all. Let's worship together. And on that day, faith will become sight. And as 1 John tells us, we will see him as he is. And we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Gemma, would you join me up front at this time? Let's prepare to continue our worship of the Lord. We do so right now in the bringing forth of our tithes, our offerings, the gifts that we have set aside for the worship of our Lord, the continuance of His work, the furtherance of His kingdom. Right now, let us worship together as we bring forth gifts. Lord, with grateful hearts, with thankful hearts, Lord, we present gifts to You today. Oh, Lord, thank You for blessing us so. Thank You for Jesus, the one who lives, that we know that He is the one who holds all things today and tomorrow. You are the one who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You are sovereign. You have all authority. And Lord, you have given to us not only life eternal through Jesus, but life today. Real life, true life, meaningful life. And it all wraps around, revolves around the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is in his name now that we follow through on this act of obedience. And we present our gifts to you, O Lord. Receive the gifts of the saints. We give with thankful hearts, and we give in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Morning. Happy first day of spring. In a moment, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to start playing a song. And they're going to start a particular PowerPoint presentation that accompanies the song. On the first slide, you'll see the names of three gentlemen. The first two are responsible for writing the words to the song and the music to the song. Judson and Winifred, Winifred's female, Winfield, they are contemporaries, both born in the late 1800s, living into the 1900s. They were contemporaries and peers and friends. Judson began his professional career as an American artist and a musician. Later on in life, he was called of God to become a musical evangelist. And he, along with Winfield, they wrote and published this song that I'm going to play in 1896. I thought it was very interesting when I was reading up on these guys that Billy Graham spoke about Judson. And what he said was that Judson greatly influenced Billy Graham's preaching. I thought that was a wonderful thing to say about someone else. I'm sure Billy Graham talked about many, many people, but he did speak about Judson here. And then when Winfield passed on his tombstone was written the words to his favorite song that he had written the music to. It says, "I surrender all."
Jennifer, thank you, dear. Our children who are going to junior church are dismissed at this time. And for those of you who are staying with me, for those of you who are joining us at home, the New Testament letters of 2 Thessalonians and Revelation, I'm going to ask you to have those handy and ready to go. We'll get to them in just a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 7. Let's pray together and we'll study God's word with each other. Oh Lord, you are the one who has called us by name. You have drawn us to yourself. Through the power of your Holy Spirit and the work that he does within us now, because of the cross of Jesus and because of the empty tomb and the regenerating power of your Holy Spirit, we can be called children of the Most High God. Father, thank you for calling us, for working in us, not only in justification by faith, but today in the work of sanctification, of setting us apart, of fashioning us more and more into the image of your Son. And Lord, teaching us more and more with the passing of each day of what indeed that does mean to surrender to you. That thy perfect will would be accomplished, that Jesus would be seen in us. Oh Lord, have your way with us. Make us more and more like Jesus with the passing of every day. May we take our thoughts captive to Christ. May our lives be lived for his glory. And we look forward to that grand and that glorious day when either through the veil or through that meeting in the air, when we will receive our final sanctification, our ultimate glorification, and we will be with you forever. Until that day, O Lord, work in us to your pleasure and to your glory. And may Christ be seen in us. And now, Lord, as we take the moments before us and as we dwell upon the truths of your word, Lord, encourage us, I pray. Challenge us where necessary. Lord, work within us now, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, our soon coming Lord. Amen. It was an ancient church father by the name of Origen of Alexandria, lived in the 3rd century AD. Origen once wrote these words. He said, "The sun, by one and the same power of its heat, melts wax indeed, but dries up and hardens mud. Not that its power operates one way upon mud and another way upon wax, but the qualities of mud and wax are different, although according to nature they are one thing, both being from the earth." Now, using that ancient 3rd century quote, the 19th century Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote these words as a take from Origen's observations back in the 3rd century. Spurgeon wrote these words. He said, "The same sun which melts the wax hardens the clay, and the same gospel which melts some persons to repentance hardens others in their sins." The same sun that melts the wax also hardens the clay. I've heard it put this way: the same heat that melts the butter hardens the eggs. You're probably a little more familiar with that image, and that is true. Think about this with me, if you will, today. Two people, they both have equal opportunities. They may even experience in life the same trials or the same types of trials and troubles. One of them ends up becoming bitter, and the other one ends up becoming a better person because of it. The problem is not with the challenge they face. The problem lies in their hearts, their thoughts, their outlooks, their personalities, and their belief systems. And I see this to be very true when people go through difficult times, trying times in their lives. The trial can either soften them to the person of the Lord and humble them before God, or it can be used to harden them and anger them towards God. I think, for example, of a fellow by the name of Pharaoh. In the pages of the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, he sees miracle upon miracle come from the hand of God, performed with by his servants Moses and Aaron. And what do we read? Miracle after miracle. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. He had the opportunity to see a staff turn into a snake. He saw the Nile turn into blood. God would send lice and flies and frogs, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. Ultimately, that as the story continues to unfold, we read that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Some people are confused by that detail. How is it that Pharaoh hardened his heart and also God hardened his heart? The answer really is in that God is the one who waits for us to make our move, and then he confirms us in that move. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God strengthened him in that decision to harden his heart. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. The book of Romans, chapter 1, you might be familiar with this passage. This would be a New Testament counterpart to that. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and following reads like this. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity and to the dishonoring of their bodies amongst themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worship and they serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women engaged in exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. What have we just read here in Romans? God gave them over to the consequences of their choices, of their own sinful choices. He has confirmed them in it. We read it all over in the story of Pharaoh, and we see it here in Romans chapter 1. These themes carry over in our continuing study of the book of 2 Thessalonians. So join me there, if you will, this morning, if you're not there already. Let's pick up where we left off last week. We know, thus far in our study, that we have been looking at this time period called the Day of the Lord. And as we have said before, and you are very familiar with this already, the Day of the Lord is not a single 24-hour time period. The Day of the Lord, that is an Old Testament term, it is a period of time. It is a long period of time. how the Old Testament describes the day of the Lord, we would attribute to the tribulation time. But there are other parts in the Old Testament where the day of the Lord clearly is talking about the coming millennial kingdom. But all of it is spoken of as the day of the Lord. This is what Paul will address in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because there's some confusion about amongst the Thessalonians about the day of the Lord. They thought that they were in it already, and Paul will write to them to clarify any confusion that they may have had and to tell them indeed they were not in that time period, at least not just yet. So those are some of the things that we have looked upon thus far. We also have seen the past several weeks that this time period, called the Day of the Lord, is going to be a time of incredible, increasing, and great deceptions. And it will come at the hand of this fella that the Bible calls the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition. The book of Revelation calls him the Antichrist, or John calls him the Antichrist figure. We know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, that he will not do his increasingly great deceptions of his own accord. Rather, he will be empowered by Satan. Chapter 2, verse 9 says, with all power and false signs and wonders, he will be Satan's man of the hour at that time. And then when we move into verse 10, we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When we go into verse 10, we see that this will be a time of wicked deception, the Bible says, for those who are perishing. Why is that the case? The Bible tells us because they are the ones who refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Now, verse 11, because they have refused to love the truth and to be saved, I would say very much like the Pharaoh figure of the book of Exodus, who had hardened his heart when confronted with the truth of God. The Bible says in verses 11 and 12 that God will now send a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Dr. Warren Wiersbe writes this about that time period, about these verses. Dr. Wiersbe says, does this mean that God is to blame for man's rejection of Christ? No. No more than God was to blame for Pharaoh's spiritual condition when Moses was bringing the plagues on Egypt. Pharaoh heard God's word, and he saw God's wonders, yet he refused to bow to God's will. Pharaoh occasionally relented and gave lip service to God, but he always resisted in the end, and he refused to obey God. Dr. Wiersbe writes, he says, he hardened his heart so that he could not believe the truth, and this led to God's final judgment of the land, on the land of Egypt. And the same is exactly true to those who harden their hearts to the hearing of God's word. Some are receptive, even today, and they will receive the word of God, and they will respond. They will respond positively. And there are those who are absolutely opposed and antagonistic to the word of God. Today, if you hear my voice today, do not harden your hearts to the call of Jesus. Whether you are here present, whether you are watching online, or you will find this message online at a later date, do not harden your hearts to the call of Jesus. His is the work of salvation and redemption and reconciliation. Some of the events that unfold on the day of the Lord, this part of the day of the Lord that consists of the tribulations of the book of Revelation. But there's another part to the story. We see one of the things that Scripture tells us that is going to happen at that time is there will be a hardening of men's hearts. But there's also another part of the story, Revelation chapter 7. Join me there if you will. Something else is going to happen at this time. When you get to Revelation chapter 7, before you read even verse 1, one of the things that we know is that this portion of God's word occurs between the 6th and the seventh of the sealed judgments. That's the context there. We read of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists in the first part of chapter 7. They will be used as one of God's witnesses at this time. But look at verse 9 and following. What will these days also look like? Verse 9 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. And they were crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God." So the first part of Revelation chapter 7 is a view of what's going on earth. Beginning at verse 9, this is a vision, an image of what is happening in heaven. There is a great multitude that is worshiping him. The text goes on, verse 11 again. "All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne. They worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Now, who are these folks? Verse 13. "And then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and where have they come from?' Verse 14. I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" What have we just read this morning? This is a reference to what we call tribulation saints. These are people who are now in heaven in glory. They're with Jesus. But they came to faith during the days of the day of the Lord, during the days of the tribulation. So several things we're putting together at this point. What we have read from Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11, those days will be a day of incredible deceit and the hardening of hearts. Many will be turning away from Christ. They will want to have nothing to do with him, even in those days. Yet at the very same time, as we put this together with Revelation chapter 7, the text begins and it says, "And a great multitude were worshiping him in heaven." Those are tribulation saints. These are saints who came to Christ during the days of the tribulation. So point being, yes, even at that time, people will be coming to faith in Christ. Even at that time. Because God will have his witnesses. Even at that time, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists will be witnesses. The two witnesses in Jerusalem will be witnesses to that. God is still at work. He is still in the business of saving souls. So even at that time, with the horrific judgments that will be happening, God is still saving souls, even at that time. A time of great judgment upon planet Earth for sure, but it will be a time of great salvation for many, because the text began and it said, "After this I looked, and a great multitude." So much so that you couldn't even number them. Where do they come from? They come from every tribe. They come from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. What an incredible scene this is. So it is both a time of horrific judgments and incredible deceptions, but it's also going to be a time when people from every nation and tribe and language will have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and be cleansed by Jesus, and will find themselves in heaven. Now, we call these tribulation saints because they come to faith in Christ during the days of the tribulation. This is not the church. This is not us. Why? Because we have been removed from the equation already, and we are with Jesus already. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, in this event that we call the rapture. As the tribulation begins and the church has been removed, the restrainer has been removed, the beginning of the tribulation time, the only people left on planet Earth are unbelievers at that time. The church has been removed. But even at that time, the Lord will still be at work through his witnesses, through his power, through the Spirit of God. Now remember, we talked about, remember the restrainer being removed? And we identified the restrainer as being none other than God in the Holy Spirit working through the church. But even though the restraining power of sin is being removed by the church, that does not mean that the work of the Holy Spirit has been completely removed, just the restraining part of it. And the reason why is because you and me and we, God's people, the church, have been taken up to glory at that time. So in that sense, the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit has been removed. But the saving ministry of the Holy Spirit is still there and present. You cannot come to salvation. You cannot be regenerated of the heart without the work of the Holy Spirit. God is at work, even at this time. Even though 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us this will be a time of increasingly great deceptions, Revelation chapter 7 tells us that at that very same time, a great multitude is going to come to faith. A great multitude that no one can number from every nation and tribe and people and language. Jesus Christ is today and will be even at that time in the business of redeeming, restoring, forgiving, and bringing salvation even then. So, like the sun that both melts the wax and hardens the clay, as the sun continues to shine today and the message continues to go forth, yes, there will be opposition and there will be rejection, but there will also be reception to the message, and there will be an incredible revival that will take place, even in the midst of the horrific events of the book of Revelation. The Spirit of God is still at work. Joel chapter 2, if you want to find that, in the pages of your Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, find verse 30 if you are looking it up when you get there. This tells us about this time period called the Day of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, verse 30 says this about that time. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and awesome day of the Lord. Before it comes, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and amongst the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. The heart of the gospel is that of forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation. And the Lord takes no delight in the destruction of the wicked. Ezekiel chapter 33 gives us insight into this. Ezekiel 33, verse 11, reads like this. And say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? These will be days of incredible destruction and deception, but these will be a time when many, many in this multitude will turn to Jesus. So what is it? How is it that, or what is it that we can conclude about this time period? Well, there were those who, prior to the rapture of the church, who rejected Christ, will, after the rapture and in the times of the tribulation, continue to reject Christ. We do know that because of the great deception that will occur at that time. Along with that, Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 tells us that all those who refuse to receive the mark of the beast on their hand or their forehead will be persecuted by the man of lawlessness. Those will be horrible days. However, at that time, it will still be possible for those to come to faith in Christ, and a great multitude will come to him. All to say that the horrors, the absolute horrors of the tribulation, this part of the day of the Lord, many will be coming to faith. The Bible talks about a great multitude. And amongst this numberless crowd, certainly you've got to think that there will be some of those who will come to him who had previously rejected him, but in his grace still draws them unto himself. He has purchased a pardon for our sins on the cross. What a gracious Savior we serve. This is just a little peek at what those days will look like. What can we take away from this today? Let me give you three things. You're going home early today, okay? I think. Number one, if you are within earshot of my voice today, do not harden your heart to the call of God and the promptings of the Spirit of God, thinking that this is something maybe you can deal with later, or you'll take care of this piece of business at a later time. No, do not delay. Today is the day of salvation. The day of the Lord is quickly approaching. If you do not know Jesus as your Redeemer, as your Savior, do business with him today. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. The righteous for the unrighteous. The one who knew no sin for those who were sin-bound. And his precious blood, the blood of the perfect Lamb, was shed so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins and the redemption of our eternal souls. He took our place. He took my place. He took your place to secure us a home in glory. The scriptures tell us to repent of our sins, to turn from them, and to turn to Christ. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I know that's such an exclusive statement. It is an offense to many, but it is the Word of God. And it is in Jesus and Jesus alone. There is no plan B. There is no plan C. It is in Christ alone that we have our salvation. If you hear my voice today, do not turn away from the promptings and the wooings of the Holy Spirit. Number two, I would say this. If you have loved ones today, and you know who I'm talking about, and they do not know Jesus, family members, those who are dear to you, and you pray for them, and they have not yet come to faith, they have not embraced the free gift of salvation, to you I would say, never stop praying for them. Never stop praying. Never stop interceding on their behalf. We do not know who this great multitude will be. It might very well be your witness today, your words that you share with them today, the life you share with them today, that after you and I are in glory, that they will remember at that time. When the deceit is going to be ramped up many notches at that time. And it might very well be the truth that you share with them, the life you share with them today, that they will remember amongst the deceit of the Antichrist. And should the Lord come for us, and should he come for us today, in the language of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. That is what is on the calendar for those who name the name of Christ today. Should the Lord come for us soon and very soon, it might very, very well be those conversations that you have had with your unbelieving loved one and friend and neighbor and those that the Lord has put on your heart to be in prayer for them. It might very well be that they are the ones numbered amongst the great multitude of Revelation 7:9. and following. So there is work to do today. Even those who clearly reject the gospel today, the text tells us it's going to be a time of incredible deception. And I don't think it's going to be any easier to come to Christ after the rapture than it is before. And one of the things that we know is that these saints who are a part, these tribulation saints, they are now in heaven in Revelation chapter 7 because of the increased persecution and martyrdom that will be extended to them during the tribulation because they are followers of Christ. But they have a home prepared for them in glory because of the work of Jesus. Never, never stop praying for them. The same sun which melts the wax hardens the clay. And the same gospel which melts some people to repentance hardens others in their sins. Pray, pray that there would be a softened heart amongst them. It could very well be the words you share with them today, this week, that they will remember at that later time. And maybe they will be those numbered in the great multitude. Number three, I would say, you have heard this one before. You are salt and light. Today, we are God's restraining force for good through the workings and the power of His Holy Spirit. And in these days, these ever-growing days of evil in which we live today, my encouragement to you this hour is continue to speak truth and do so with gentleness and reverence. Embody truth. Love well to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, you have given to us perfect revelation of who you are, what you have done for us. We know the story of the cross well. We love you, O Lord. We worship you. Lord, we also know that there are those that you have put into our lives who today don't embrace the Savior. It's a burden to us. It is a heartache to us. Because we want them to know Jesus and salvation and eternal life. Lord, for those that you have burdened our hearts with this today, Lord, continue to hear our prayers and our intercessions. And Lord, remind us today and remind us often never to stop praying and interceding on their behalf. May Christ be seen in us. And for those of you who are within earshot of my voice, if you sense a prodding of your heart this day, and you know in your heart of hearts that there is so much more to life than what this empty world has to offer. And maybe you are searching for significance and for meaning. I've got to tell you that there is one with arms open wide who calls today. And his name is